Can we turn to 2 Chronicles 20? I know we've been dwelling on this passage of scripture since we started 2020. But I just want, before we start, I just want to focus on a verse. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And the verse I want to focus on before we start is verse 22. Are you all there? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the question is this. When did God intervene? Okay? When did God intervene? The answer in verse 22, everyone read together. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. All right, so when? Okay, let's try that again. Maybe because I just realized I haven't shared the word in 2020. So I want some response here, okay? All right, so let's do it again. When did God intervene? Praise. Okay. All right. Now, why I want to say this is because, as you all know, what helps me a lot more is that when we do, oh, hallelujah, all together, right? It helps me a lot more than you think, but also to sort of wake us up a bit. But what Pastor Louis just declared just before worship today was the word hallelujah, right? It says, let us praise. There is a corporate dimension to it. When we praise together, so like here, when they, plural, it's not just King Jehoshaphat who got the word and then he just the one sing and praise. When they, okay? That's one I want to say, focus on is the corporate. The second one is they began to sing and to praise. And we know that what did they say is praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever, right? So as we say this, say all together, all right, whatever situation you are in, wherever you're facing, you know, this message, it's not even, I'm not even tailoring it because of coronavirus, okay? Because as Pastor Joseph was declaring it for 2020 already I was asking God, how should we position ourselves, okay? That's the title of my message today, and kind of the theme of the message today, but when whatever situation we are in, as we declare this, oh, hallelujah, see God beginning to intervene in that situation. Whether it's healing, whether it's restoring relationship, whether it's family, whatever it is, as we all declare this together, have this faith that as you praise all together, God will intervene. Amen? Are you ready? Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. All right. I'm fired up now. All right. Okay. So, today I want to go into the message. So, position ourselves in the Lord our God. So, firstly, there's two, today's message has two. Okay. One of it is, as I was reading 2 Chronicles 20, one of the things that got me to look at, like God was telling me is, did King Jehoshaphat suddenly was able to just receive God's word and declare it like this, right? What I suddenly had impression to do is to look at his life a little bit leading up to this situation. So the positioning is not even just at the time when the trouble came, but he was already positioning himself, basically, or building his life leading up to this situation. Okay, so that's why I say lessons from the life of King Jehoshaphat. Okay, so I will just go it very quickly. I'll leave it up to you to read 2 Chronicles. I think it's from 17 onwards when he started to reign. And there are some key verses that highlighted how he was or what kind of king was he. All right, so... Oh, sorry, before I go into that. So one thing that I like to do when I'm preparing my message, you know, we do the quiet ourselves down, right? Second one is fixing your eyes on Jesus. tuned to spontaneity and journaling. So one thing I like to do is before I even give my main message, I say, God, what do you want to speak to the people, right? Just a little appetizer, okay, before the main meal. So the word of God was simple. Fear not, for I am with you. Everyone say together, fear not, for I am with you. Okay, now, we know this verse very well, okay? I'm pretty sure, right? And we have a song for it, right? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, worship to you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Okay, all right, cool. Now, and then we also are exposed to the ministries of Jonathan Kahn with the Book of Mysteries, right? And he said, the mysteries of the I am, the word I am, we know that I am is God's name, correct? Okay? Now, something that I just realized is because recently I have moved my lab from Royal Perth Hospital to Sir Charles Garner. So I'm in the big research building now, right? That is based in Sir Charles Garner. Now, when you're in a new place, what do you do a lot of times? You have to introduce yourself or like, oh, hello, I am Dino and you are blah, 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 right? I am. Now, in the Book of Mysteries, there is a thing about the mystery about the I am, God's name, right? Now, when you introduce yourself, say, I am, say your name, I am? I'm Dino, right? Now, do you realize you are putting God before you? Okay, all right? So it's like, if you substitute it, I am Dino, it'll be like God, Dino. Okay? God, can you see? Okay, it's like simple maths, right? Substitution, okay? Can you see that? Okay? Now, when this verse says, fear not, I am with you, literally, God is saying, He is with us. Okay? He is with us. And we know from this verse as well, it comes the word Emmanuel, right? God with us, right? So the simple word today is, you know, just know that God is with you. Now, and the vision that I got, it's like, as I look here, like normally when we say, okay, Jesus, where do you want to be, right? One of the thing we learn from hearing God's voice is, Jesus, show me where you want to be in the vision and all that. So I say, Jesus, what are you doing today here? And what I saw was, it's like everywhere I look, there is Jesus. So he's not in one position, he's not here, he's not up or wherever, but it's like the vision that I kind of see or the impression I got was, wherever I look, if I look at Auntie Karen, for example, Jesus is there. When I look at, say, mom, okay, mom is Sister Sally, Jesus is there. When I look at my mommy, Jesus is there. Can you see that Jesus is with us? All right, so sometimes we need to know that God is with us, so then, when Brother Adrian declared, when God is with us, then who can be against us? Will that be even more powerful? Yeah? Because sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. Amen? All right? So the song here is what? Fear not, for I am with you. Amen? Okay. So we won't sing because we are running late. Let's go. All right. Jehoshaphat. Okay? Now, next slide, please, Joke. So, we know that the word that is given to us is believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Everyone read together. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. And we know also, if you backtrack a bit in three verses before this, we know also this word, right? Joe, next one. Okay, read together. 1, 2, 3. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, one of the things that Pastor Mei Ching gave us before she left on this trip was, you know, in these times, now again, like I said, you must know that in terms of what Pastor left before this coronavirus thing was happening, right? Okay, so when she gives this, it's got to do talking about the last days, right? Like when we talk about the book of Revelation, that in the last days, perilous times will come, right? We know that wars and rumors of war will come, right? Jesus said that, right? And in the book of Revelation, pestilence, maybe this is just a little glimpse of what kind of pestilence might come, right? That shake the whole global world, right? So what Pastor Meiji said, it's even more important for each and every one of us, right? But she's talking a lot more to us as leaders, the YLs, is to be one with the Lord. Now, how do we do that? Number one is we learn to be still and draw from Him. Because as we become still, truly we then acknowledge who God is, right? Now, if I can demonstrate, you know, like, say for example, I'm a stranger who's trying to carry Zion. Okay, stranger, not me, okay? What do you think he'll do? He'll be like, it's like, oh, trying to reach out for mommy, like, yeah? Right, very hard. Whereas if I come, not only does I can just grab him, right? But the thing is, he will lean towards, right? So Pastor Ludwig was sharing this to me last week when I had this same idea to share was, you know, we are like little children, right? We're supposed to approach God like little children. Now, you know that if you try to carry Zion, right? You know there was tricks, like when we try to introduce a friend, there's tricks, right? You go, no, you carry while he's not looking so that he looks at me and then you like that. Okay? So he's like facing me, right? And then the stranger can have him, right? Do you know what I'm talking about, right? But isn't it even more when you come and then he goes, and then he smiles and then he leans toward you, like he wants you to carry, right? So the lesson is this. God is always chasing us. God always, quote unquote, wants to carry us, wants to, right? Right? But isn't it even more that if we draw to Him? Yeah? The joy of having Zion is every day, as I open the door, He just goes, okay, you can see, like, you know, in the bouncer, he was like, I think he would have told the bouncer and tried to jump out. But that kind of excitement, I think we just need to have that back. I think that's, to me, it's almost like I'm not saying that's what first love is. I think that's one of the key things, right? It's like, so maybe what we do now, let's just quiet ourselves, okay? We do the, you know, what's his name again? Hearing God's voice. What's his name? Mark Verkler, okay? All right, let's just be still for a moment, all right? Let's just be still, all right? Fix our eyes on Jesus, okay? Tune to spontaneity. If you want to journal, you can. You don't have to, all right, at this point. But at this point, why don't we just give God, our Father, a smile? Just a simple smile. You know, as we smile naturally, in the spirit, we're saying, Lord, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so glad that you are with me. And then just begin to draw. Just draw from Him in this stillness. Thank you, Lord. And don't, and keep smiling. Keep, you know, really, literally force yourself to smile so that you're just acknowledging that you are so pleased to be with Him. Thank you, Lord. All right, we have to cut that short. Now, imagine doing this daily, right? Just before you start work or whatever. It's just, you can feel that strength coming back already, right? That joy, the strength, right? So this is number one, right? So I'm still under appetizer here, okay? Second is speaking in the Spirit, all right? Building ourselves up. We know this a bit. And the last one is the Holy Communion, right? Because communion is the time for us to truly have the union with Him. Okay, these three things, all right, that Pastor declared for us, obviously when she declares it to us, she knows that we will declare it to the people, that these three things will be so, so key for us in these last days, in this time. Okay? So, and I just tying that to, like, you know, we talk about positioning ourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord as well. Okay? Now, coming back to the message, the question is, how did King Jehoshaphat build himself throughout his life to come to this position in chapter 20, verse 20, right? When we declare the word. All right, so just a little bit of background. Next one. Now, if you just a bit of history, okay? You know that the kingdom of Israel, right? It started with what? You know, like David is down there. Now, I purposely put this picture for those who attend Revelation class. There's a lion, there's an ox. You know a little bit why, okay? If you wonder why that is, ask Pastor Ludwig, okay? All right. So, because no time to go into that, okay? So, you know, like David, and then, you know, had Solomon, then the kingdom was divided, right? Then when the kingdom was divided, thanks, Zion. All right? You have the northern kingdom. Everyone, can you see? It's a bit blurry, right? What's the northern kingdom called?
Israel.
And what's the southern kingdom called? Judah, right? Okay. So now the kingdom of Israel was divided. Now King Jehoshaphat was under the southern kingdom, okay? If you want to put it just in summary, the southern kingdom is the more godly one, okay? The northern kingdom is the one, if you see, right? And if you know the story of Jezebel, okay? Jezebel was a idol worshipper, Baal worshipper, when she married King Ahab, they basically brought like, okay, in the Bible it says King Ahab did even the most to provoke God, okay, because of his alliance with Jezebel. Anyway, that's not what we're focusing on. My focus is King Jehoshaphat, right? He's a good king. His father, King Asa, started off well, good, but towards the end, he failed, okay, which I'll go through why. And what I want to say is, he, in that sense, was surrounded by a situation that is not that good, okay? But that does not excuse him from being a person that is following God, obeying him, okay? Even though he had a little dip in his life in terms of his spiritual walk. But can you see? His father didn't do very well. He didn't use that as an excuse. Yeah, my father like that word, so I don't need to follow. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? All right, sometimes we, you know, one of the things that we did, Robert Henderson, right? If you all remember, we can take it to the extreme and say that how I am is because iniquities of my forefather. This is why I'm like that, right? I don't know why maybe God just gave me this time, but as I was preparing for John Bevere, I was doing my other work and I just had it in the background. And you know, YouTube, they give like suggested video. And the next one was Robert Henderson. So I thought, okay, I'll just let it run. And then, you know, you remember the whole thing about it. And then it's like, but what God spoke to me at that time is like, a lot of people can take it the wrong way and say, oh, it's because my grandfather is like this, that's why I'm like that. But that's not the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson was what? In fact, the title of the lesson was not iniquity or forefathers or something, right? The point of the lesson was to unlock your destiny. Now, we know this is some things that areas you can give the devil to affect. But the point is, the blood of Jesus overcomes that. And then you can come into the courts of heaven, right? You're refreshing your memory about it. Then you move on with God. It's not saying, this is why, you know, give the excuse why I'm behaving like this, and then you just stay like that. No, right? The point of the lesson was, how do you unlock your destiny? Yeah, sometimes there are blocks, there are spiritual blocks, and that is because of whatever, he said, legal right that you have given, right? But the point is, after you identify the legal right, what do you do with that? You ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse, and if you need to do forgiveness, you forgive, right? And then this ties back into offenses and things like that. So can you see how all these lessons are coming together, right? In the end, how we move on with God, you can blame all the surroundings, right? But in the end, it's up to your response. In fact, even John Bevere said that, right? Right, this I got the live group to declare. You know, when the video just starts and he's got the, you know, what do you call that? The introduction, right? It's like you can fulfill God's like destiny for you. I can't remember the word for word, but only if you don't get offended, like, you know, something like that, right? Pay attention to that, because that one just hits right there. Okay, so I just want to explain this. Okay, it's like, King Jehoshaphat did not live in like when things were all good, you know, while everybody was worshiping so he also can like, you know, good influence. You know what I'm trying to say? Whatever situation he was in, it did not influence him in his walk with God, okay? All right. Now, so just coming back, next one. Sorry, I was meant to show this because King Jehoshaphat basically lived during the king of Ahab. It's when Israel was at its most wicked, if you can say it like that, right? When the northern kingdom was like basically doing idol worship, sacrifice to Baal and all these things, okay? All right. So it's like then coming back to us, do we see like this is kind of the days we are living in, right? Can you see? Like in this world now, it's like the wicked are becoming more wicked. As you all know, you know, like what do you call it? The gender ideology and all these different things, right? This is the time for us to stand. This is the time for us, as Adrian said, to be the answer. This is the time for us to rise up, to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness. Amen? All right? Okay. So just a few key things about how he started. Sorry, Joe. Next one. Okay. Now, it's said here in 2 Chronicles 17, 3-6, if you all read verse 4, let's read verse 3, okay? All together, 1, 2, 3. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Okay? If you want to know what the acts of Israel is, 1 Kings 16, 31-33. This one is just basically describing how Ahab married to Jezebel and then he brought in idol worship and all that, okay? So, and then let's keep going. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hands, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. So here you see that before even the prophetic word was declared about believe in the Lord and you shall be established and believe his prophets and you shall prosper, he actually had been experiencing this because of his walk with God. So it's almost like when he declared this, he's not just declaring like a rhema word, like something new. He knows that this is why God prospered him. He knows this is why God established his kingdom. Can you see this? All right, this is 3 chapters ago. We're not even in chapter 20 yet. So what's the lesson here for us in red? Sorry, Joe. The next one is, all right, basically for us, simple. We're always to seek God, always to obey his commandments. And the last one, his heart took delight in the ways of God, to know him. Next one. And we know that in Psalms 103, verse 7, it says that God, he made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. Now, knowing God's ways, it has to do with knowing who he is. Okay, Moses had that relationship with God, and he knew who God is. But if you only know God's acts or works, or we can put it in terms like miracles, right, or answered prayer, quote-unquote, right, this is only what he does. So it's a call for us in this time to seek him, obey his commandments, but also to know him, okay? All right, now this is just the foundation part. Can you see how I'm trying to build this up? This is how Jehoshaphat has positioned himself before even the whole ambush thing and all thing happened, okay? All right, and we know that David was a man after God's heart, right? And this he is described as almost like David. So we can see what kind of king he is, all right? King Jehoshaphat. All right. So in next one, Joe, sorry. All right, here. Now, this is a bit a point of time where he sort of did a mistake, but you can see here afterwards he repented, all right? So here, I kind of summarize it in the wrong alliance. So because he wanted to unite the northern and the southern kingdom. So what he did was his son, which is Jeroham, married Ahab's daughter Athaliah. And out of that, okay, there was a bit of compromise coming in. Okay? Now, here, when he visited his quote-unquote father-in-law, but you know what I'm talking about. His daughter-in-law's father, which is the king on the other side, right? And the king the other side, remember, he's a wicked king, and he asked him to fight with him, okay? And can you see how he tried to persuade him? King Ahab killed many, many sheep, oxen, right, to persuade Jehoshaphat to go and fight with him. So here you see that he did a bit of a mistake. He had the wrong alliance, okay? But before this happened, now King Ahab did this. Call all the prophets. There were 400 prophets. The 400 prophets said, he asked, should I go? The 400 prophets said, yep, go. Okay? But then King Jehoshaphat still had this thing. Is there any prophet of the Lord? So he almost could discern these prophets all are false prophets, giving lying prophecies. And he actually asked, is there another one? And King Ahab said, oh yeah, there's actually one more. But he always tells me negative. I don't like him. I don't like him, okay? Maybe you just click next. I don't like him, okay? See, can you see in verse 6, Jehoshaphat said, is there still not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Now, it means that he recognizes the work of the fivefold ministry. In this case, a prophet, right? Because that's why he said, believe in the prophets and you shall prosper. Then we don't say, not any kind of prophets. You want the prophets that are telling the truth from God. Okay, can you see how he, even though he had this a bit of wrong alliance, but he still had this one thing. He still wants, I need to know what God is saying. But he basically said, and Micaiah, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, all right, he says what? Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing in his right hand on his left. So there's a lot more to this story, actually. Okay, basically, Micaiah said, is the 400 prophets was lying so that King Ahab will go and fight and die. Okay? That is the lying spirit operating in the 400 prophets. He's basically saying, don't go, don't go. But King Ahab don't want to hear it. Okay? And he basically said, don't go, but they all go anyway. All right? So, what happened in the next one? Okay? Basically here, so I'm skipping a bit, so that I let you read the story. I just give you the key events, all right? Now, here, when they went to war, basically King Ahab did die in war here, but what happened to King Jehoshaphat? So let's read together, 1, 2, 3. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. Now here, he cried out to God. Okay, remember, he still had his faith in that sense, all right? And he was humble enough to cry out. Okay, so no matter how, where he was still depending on God. So if we go next, just click next. Yep, okay. This is in contrast to his father, King Asa, in his last days, okay? You see here that King Asa, when he did the mistake, when he fell, but he had not relied on the Lord, okay? Instead, he aligned with Syria. And the other one is, because of this, God judged him, right? And gave a disease. But still, in this time of disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the doctors, okay? Physicians, okay? So can you see here, this is very much in contrast to how his father was, okay? Even though King Jehoshaphat, in that sense, had compromised, right, had fallen, but when it comes to it, he still cries to God, all right? So this maybe speak to a lot of us. Some of us may have, or maybe have this thought, I failed God. I'm not used to be as what do you call, on fire for you. So, you know, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy enough to come back. But that did not happen with King Joseph. Instead, this is the almost like dip, and then it's turned back to verse 20 where he declared the word. All right, in verse 20. So, can you see here that if we depend on ourselves, if we try to depend on ourselves, this is what's going to happen. Or if we even try to depend on others, because he relied on the King Asa, bad one, was depending on Syria, depending on doctors. He was doing things out of his own, right? So, I just want to speak this, okay? Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to break this spirit of that saying, I'm not good enough, I've done wrong, so I can't come back, Lord. I just declare right now, let this voice be broken in Jesus' name. I just speak again faith into each and every one of us right now, a turning around, a breakthrough for each and every one of us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay? Next one. Oh, okay. So, who did he cry out to? He cried out to Jesus, right? So this is for us, right? When we cry out, we can cry out to Jesus. Yesterday at the prayer meeting, we had a good time, actually, just calling out on the name of Jesus. You know, just really kneeling, you know, and just calling on the name of Jesus. As we know that in Acts 4 verse 12 says, read together, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved, okay? So can you see? All right. That's the third one. Fourth one. So here, he quickly repent and come back to him. So here, another prophet spoke to him. He said, this is what the prophet revealed. Okay, this is your mistake. Why are you helping the wicked and those who hate the Lord? Which is referring to King Ahab and his kingdom. Okay, but because you still prepare your heart to seek God, okay, The repentance. Can you see the repentance here? And he not only did he do it for himself, he did it for the whole kingdom by bringing God back into the kingdom of Judah. Okay? Can you see that? All right, the repentance. Okay? So this also speaks to us that God's mercy is always there when we want to come back. Okay? So no matter what the mistake is, know that God is good as long as we are willing to come back to him. Okay, so repent, stop dwelling on the past, and keep going. Keep going with God. Amen? All right, and then the last one now. And Jehoshaphat feared, let's read together, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all cities of Judah when they came to seek the Lord. Okay, oh our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now, here we have reached chapter 20, right? Which is from where we declare the word, right? Believe in the Lord and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. So, now, will trouble still come even though we have already built our life, we repented? This is what I want to put back to all of us. Will trouble still come? Yeah, right? The enemy is not going to stop. Yeah? Right? If we just stop at point four and end there, it's nice. It's nice. Oh, King Jehoshaphat started good. He went down a bit. He repented. And then nothing happened after that. He lived happily ever after. No. Right? What happens now, which is what we focus on a lot now, is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is basically going to be applied to all of us now in the last days. Are we in the last days? Yes. Yeah? Are we in the last days? Yeah? So, what do we do when this thing comes? We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. All right? The answer is simple, right? We know that the in verse 17 it says what? Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay? So if we go to the next slide. Now, did you know the Book of Mysteries again? Right? The Book of Mysteries. Oh, it's so good. If you go and Google Jonathan Cahn, Book of Mysteries, he has this 4-minute short video clips. It's so powerful, right? All he do is You know the word salvation? I said, yeah, we all know that. And it's the word Yeshua. Say it with me. Yeshua. Yeshua, all right? So, if you directly translate this, see the salvation of the Lord, what would you say? See the Yeshua. Okay? Right? So, what does this mean? When we call on the name of Jesus, what does that mean to us? Okay? So, I'll leave it to you to Google yourself and watch the video. But really, what I want to conclude here is King Jehoshaphat had gone through all the training, all the building, the foundation things, right? What I want to say is, in point one, when he seek God, obey his commandments, and know God, that was not gone to waste in that sense. Because we can see it this way, we are now in that point one phase, maybe, right? We're building, we're loving God, we're seeking him, but it doesn't seem to be like, oh, it's just the same thing over and over. Obey his commandments, read the word, okay. It doesn't seem significant. But what I want to declare to you today, that because of point one, he was able to come to this place. Yeah? Okay? Can you see what I'm trying to say? Okay? Now, what's the next one? Sorry. Yeah, just next one again. Oh, okay. Oh, actually, I do. All right. So this is the from the concordance, all right? The word salvation is the word Yeshua, right? And we know that that means Jesus. And again, yesterday, one thing that Pastor Louis got us to think was, what is it the name of Jesus to us, right? Is it just our Savior, all right? But if you look at this word, there's a lot. There's deliverance in the context of prosperity because it means he delivered us from debt, right? There's a deliverance in the context of health because he delivers us from sicknesses, salvation, but Pastor Louis, maybe one day you will share here, right? We went through about eight names, and there's a lot more to go, right? You know, God our provider, God our healer, God our peace, our shepherd, God our banner, right? And God our savior as well. So all these things, when we see the Yeshua, when we see the salvation of the Lord, are we only restricting him? I'm talking about us now. Are we only restricting him? Oh, he saved me from my sins. So, okay, that's it. I'm just waiting to go to heaven, right? But do we know that God is involved in our life a lot more than we think? Yeah? So, I know I don't want to give coronavirus so much, exposure. But in this time, can we trust that God is our healer? Can we trust that God is our protector? Can we trust that the blood of Jesus, if we put it upon ourselves, we plead the blood of Jesus ourselves, it is powerful enough? Yeah? So all this, and again, I'm not trying to go extreme that we be careless, we don't wash hands, you just go and in the hospitals, there's actually queue now. I'm not saying it's funny, but normally people queue is like this, right? The queue is actually, everyone is like, because they don't want to infect each other. So it's happening. What I'm trying to say, it's happening. It's happening. We can't ignore it, right? But how are we going to respond towards it? Yeah? And our parade agent has done it so well when he announced the Easter parade. Okay? Okay. I thought I just want to conclude this, but maybe I won't expound to it. Okay? So the position in the before the trouble comes, okay, that's basically the 5 points that I talk about. And now, when the trouble do come, how do we position ourselves? I'll just give you a summary because I really want to spend a bit of time worshiping. Okay, now this one, literally the last 10 minutes as I was preparing this, it just came, right? And I didn't even realize, okay? Now, when I talk about position, Lord, I've been asking God this, all right? When you talk about position, what do you mean, okay? So God just said, okay, what do you think position means? Okay, position can mean these few things. One is perspective. Do we see God from God's perspective, okay, from the heavenly? Because, and Pastor Louis shared a bit in Revelation class, right? You can see the full rainbow if you're from the air, but on the ground, you only see half. Okay, all right. If you want to know a lot more about that, you either come to Revelation class or you ask us a little bit. Okay, but can you see having a different perspective will help in terms of how you respond. Okay? Second, I put here organization. What I'm talking about is, it's time for us to organize together, come together. This is the time for us to be united together, to fight, right? Because the Moabs and all these are right coming to attack. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He said, position yourself. Maybe that may be in a military sense to say, hey, we got to come together, guys. We kind of like, I want to go home because we're going to die. Or, you know, right? We got to position ourselves, not only ourselves, but ourselves all together. Okay? The third one, maybe it's got to do with the strategy or tactics. Okay? Now, I Googled this quickly, right? In the army, is there different tactics for offensive or defensive? And yes, there is. Okay? So that's the table didn't come up. Oh, yeah. Okay? Now, this is from the Australian Force, Army Force. Okay? Attacking and defensive have two different things. Okay? Now, when we know that, you know, Jesus asked Peter, do you know who I am? Right? And what did Peter answer? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus replied, said what? Upon this word, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, last time when I read this verse, I actually didn't understand this, right? I didn't understand it to this point, I mean, right? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you talk in terms of warfare, is hell the one attacking, or is the church attacking? Because the gates of the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's talking about the church is coming. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Right? When we build ourselves properly, it will be on the offensive side. Right? That's where when we take God's word, when God is with us, right, He will fight with us. Right? All these are offensive words. Right? So when all this thing comes, we don't keep defending, oh, gotta prepare. True, prepare, right? I'm not saying, you know, in the end, we all need to eat. Or maybe this is the time to go prayer and fasting 40 days, maybe, right? But we need to think in the spiritual sense, we got to be on the offensive here. Yeah? Right? Because defending and attacking has a different perspective, okay? Then the last one, I, is identity. Who we are. When we position ourselves, know who you are. Again, I just had this thought when I was in the new research building, right? When you introduce yourself, when I introduce myself, the next question I will ask is, what do you do, right? As in, I ask, like, are you a student? Are you a postdoc? Postdoc means they've graduated from PhD. Are you a group leader, all this? Because the position, you do respond differently, right? If it's a student, then you talk kind of like, I'm not saying that I look down on students and then I go like, The way you speak is different. It's like, oh, how's your project going? It's like, da da da, right? But with a team leader, you talk a bit differently. The language is different. So here, the identity that we have, can we see who we are in Christ? Are we just, oh no, I'm just, you know, small, not really significant? Or can we declare that everyone say together, we are sons of the Most High? We are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are kings and priests to rule with Him. Now again, this is what I talk about identity. Again, is this what we're talking about, positioning ourselves? Yeah, we forgot who we are. In this crisis, we can forget who we are. All right? In the context of King Jehoshaphat's army, God described them as mighty men of valor. They're strong, they're this. But suddenly, ambush comes, everyone's afraid, right? Everyone's scared. Maybe someone wants to go home. You know, better prepare ourselves at home. Better defend, you know, go home and defend. But no, what did God say? Position yourself, stand still. But then we know that it's an attacking sense. All right? In the Revelation class, again, I'll just conclude with this, right? We learn about the vision of the four living creatures, the 24 elders. What does that mean? Long story short, it represents the redeemed mankind. Who here are redeemed mankind? We are. Okay, so almost that when you read the book of Revelation, in that vision, it's not talking about suddenly you got four animals and all this, and those are what happens in heaven. That represents us. In the midst of the book of Revelation, you know book of Revelation, some things are scary, right? When you read things, scary things are happening. But what is happening in the throne of heaven? The redeemed mankind are singing. The redeemed mankind are still praying songs of redemption, praising his name, right? So this is the kind of position we need to take in these times. Amen? All right? Now, I only got four, so I can't spell position yet. So I need to ask Holy Spirit for the other four. All right? So can you see, to remember how to position ourselves? P, right? Perspective. Have a right perspective. Let's organize together. The concept is, let's organize, come together. S, strategy. How do we fight, right? It should be offensive. How do we pray, right? And I, identity, who we are. Just remember again who we are in Christ. Amen? All right? I keep saying last one. Last. This is really last analogy or picture, right? That I want to conclude with. I think I've shared this before, but I used to do martial art or taekwondo, if you don't know what that means, right? Or you know what that is. Now, because of my stature, right? Because of my stature, I used to be right, and short, and people call me Tank, right? Not Dino Tan, but Dino Tank. Because why? I can never be toppled over, all right? Because I was so stock. Okay, it's just a nice way to say I'm fat, okay? All right? I was very chubby, right? But I did taekwondo, right? Okay, I was very chubby. I was more on the rounded than up, okay? So, whenever I enter taekwondo competition, you know they separate by weight, okay? Now, the characteristic of a heavy fighter is either they are fat and short, or they are tall. So guess who am I grouped with? All the tall people. Then my coach said this, you know, you actually have an advantage. I was like, what does that mean? They can reach me, right? Their leg is like 1.5 longer than mine and all that. They say, no, you do this. You go closer to them. I say, huh? No, you go closer to them. Because if I imagine someone taller, right? If I go closer, where is his kicks going to be? His kick's going to be like this, right? He can't reach me. Okay, he can punch, but I can block that, no problem. Yeah? So, can you see a change in perspective, a change in positioning ourselves can help us win the war? What this means is sometimes we think the solution is big enemy, so I stand further away. But when you stand further away, you actually get hit, right? Because the enemy can reach. But if you stand closer and you keep going, then the enemy can't do anything because I'm like, whoa. Right? Okay? Right? Okay. But that's just a picture. But can you see what I'm trying to say? Positioning, perspective, all these things can make a difference. So God is speaking to us. I'm pretty sure God revealed this word to us for a purpose. It's not just a nice word to say, oh, believe in the Lord, you'll be established. You know, hear the prophets and you'll be prosper. Nice words. And we can only take it like that if we are not careful, right? And the three different things, position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. We can also, that's very nice to hear, but when trouble comes, will we be able to do that? Will we be able to position ourselves, right? Can we get the worship team to come as we conclude? So today, maybe we should conclude this day. Maybe some of us maybe need to repent a little bit, saying, God, I totally got caught up with the whole fear and all this. Totally, right? But the message today is, it doesn't matter how far we've fallen. If we come back to Him, we put our eyes back on Him, right? He is merciful enough to help us. Amen? Right? And maybe the second thing is, then we need to take this offensive position. Right, some of us maybe got caught up again, but forgot to maybe pray. Simple thing as that. Forgot to come together. Maybe that fear is like, oh, I don't want to come together, right? Because that's against the advice. But this is the time all the more for all of us to stand together. Amen? Well, let's stand together. I don't know what song. When I look into your holiness, or... maybe let's do this. This is Zion's favorite song. Or maybe it's Zion's grandma's favorite song to sing to him. Okay? All right? You know? All right. Yep. Yeah. Okay, let's sing this as we conclude as a worship to Him. 1, 2, 3. I'm a conqueror. I'm victorious.
I'm reigning in Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places.
Amen.